Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Her own life experience of substance abuse, a debilitating car accident, child abuse, loss of her own child, cancer at 18, and again at 48, all became catalysts for Kate to help others beat down the doors of defeat and focus on creating a truly amazing life. With the help of some dynamic individuals who've also overcome life's challenges and truly came out stronger, Kate promises to bring listeners an inspiring hour of power filled with humor and insight. Join Kate and her weekly guest as they share their secrets, what almost brought them down, and the inspiring techniques we all need to make our lives epic and spread the juiciness of hope. Now, here's your host, Kate Hennessy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Get Focused Radio. I hope you stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience ways to refocus when life gets in the way. I am so excited to start the show today because we have the amazing Stella Parton with us. She is not only a well-known and respected singer-songwriter, but now she is the author of Tell It, Sister, Tell It, an inspiring book of her life, her loves, and her stand on domestic abuse. So let's just jump in and welcome Miss Stella Parton. Hi, Stella.
Hey, Kate. How are you, dear?
I am wonderful. And I told you I have just finished your book, Tell It, Sister, Tell It. And what an amazing, funny, inspiring, so full of memories. I loved it. So I would love for you to tell us, I want to talk about so much, and this time with you is going to go by so quickly. I want you to take us back to when you were a little girl and tell us about the early years, what kind of family you came from, a little bit about your parents, who I know were such a huge, huge part of your life.
Well, you know, to me, it was an idyllic life because we grew up in the mountains with lots of relatives around and lots of siblings. And as a child, the world is magical. And we had lots of church. We had lots of lots of love. It was a beautiful time. And my mother and my dad were both very creative, and they gave us complete permission to be as creative as we wanted to be. And we were creative children, so we had a lot of fun.
And you now, this was in the Appalachian Mountains where you grew up, and there were how many of you? Ten kids?
There was originally 12 of us, and okay. 11 of us grew up together.
Okay, I know, because you had one little brother, Larry, that passed away.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, when you're a young kid, that really makes a big impact on you.
Well, how old were you when the baby died?
I was 5, so it was the year before I started first grade, so I was old enough for that to make a big impression on me, and it did, so, yeah, you know, and it did all of us.
Yeah, yeah, it's something you don't forget. Now, I know that you had this idyllic life, but you didn't have a lot of material things. I mean, there were a lot of kids. It was a very small house. There were 2 bedrooms in this house.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, as kids, I don't think you can miss something you never had.
True.
And we were not abused or anything. We were loved and adored and protected and enjoyed. My dad had a great sense of humor, and he thought we were funny. And he enjoyed our antics, and our mother was a very nurturing, loving person. So you don't miss being poor, or you don't miss being rich because you've never had all those things. You make do with what you have, and that's, I think, the reason we're so creative today.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, it's so wonderful when you tell the stories in the book about, you all get one gift at Christmas time, and they barely lasted the week because they weren't expensive gifts, and by the time all of you played with them, they were done, right? they were broken or done. But, I mean, you certainly now, when you talk about your lovely mom, Avie Lee, and your dad, as much as she was a wonderful and nurturing mom, but she suffered from depression. And I think that you realized after a while it was probably postpartum depression.
I did after I became an adult and educated myself on depression. I understood that because, you know, a woman pregnant most of her life, it's either pregnant or getting over a pregnancy, nursing a baby or something. Yeah. And I feel so bad for her. But at the same time, she loved her babies and she did her best. And she may have had the depression issue, whether she had been pregnant or, you know, getting over a pregnancy or not. It could have been just a hereditary thing or a, you know, chemical imbalance. And that was a great burden on us. At the same time, you learn to adjust to whatever your situation is.
You, and that's one of the things that really comes out in the book. As much as there were some issues with your mom and her depression and with your dad too, because he went off and had a couple of things that went on there. People have to read the book, because I'm not going to tell them what goes on. You've got to read it. But you and I know what I'm talking about. And yet
yes.
You never, at the end of the day, you never ever blamed your parents. You just accepted their flaws and grew from that.
Well, I believe that love covers a multitude of sins, let's say. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's part of my spiritual walk. And I believe we have to look at the good in our situations and be thankful. Every morning I try to wake up and be thankful that I can see. Just as now, you know, I'm thankful that I can hear. I'm thankful that I can think on my own. I'm thankful that I can get up and take care of myself in, you know, in a natural way. I've got friends that, I have a friend that lost his father not too long ago, and he had taken him to China for a experimental surgery for Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood and watched his father, you know, pass away right before his eyes as they were trying to aspirate him. And his father couldn't help himself. Lou Gehrig's disease is a horrible, horrible, horrible disease. You know, every morning I think of how incredible it is that I can use both my hands, both my legs, and my mind, and my voice to make a difference in the world. And I honestly believe that if people would stop thinking that they have to do monumental things and just do good things with the life that you've been given, then God could bless you more.
Yeah, yeah. And you and I had talked about this before, but you don't have any problem telling people that you have a very strong belief in God, not this higher power or any of that, but you believe in God.
Oh, I absolutely do. I believe, Kate, that my faith is what has sustained me through my journey, through all the things that I've gone through. I kind of liken myself to being like a feather in the wind, but I think we kind of all are like feathers in the wind. And we, you know, our life takes us on different paths, and we have to decide when we do land in a situation, how are we going to handle that? And for me, what is God trying to teach me in this situation?
Well, one point in the book, I just want to read this because it really says exactly what you've just said. You're talking about your mom and how she would shop in the fabric stores, and you said she liked the bargain table the best because she could use her imagination on the scrap pieces, always making a lot out of the rejected pieces. God does that with us, I believe. Mama believed it and lived it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you do talk about what you call the sight, and that your mom had that too. Can you tell us, like, you'd have these kind of visions that something was going to happen or was about to happen. Can you tell us one incident that you remember when you were younger?
Well, one of the most startling ones that I talk about in the book is on moving day, and I had this precognitive experience, almost like a slideshow, that the truck would be, you know, would crash.
Yeah.
And in fact, it did, you know, an hour or so later. And I felt like somehow I might have caused it because I saw it before it happened, and that maybe I had willed it to happen, and it frightened me as a 5-year-old. I thought, ooh, this did I cause this? And as, you know, I grew older and studied different things of that sort, I was able to realize that it wasn't me at all, but that it was just a gift that I had, having insight and the, you know, the ability or the gift of, you know, seeing things.
And that's happened quite a few times throughout your life.
Well, I think we all have that ability. I think some people just don't pay attention to it.
Now, did your mom know? Because she also had that gift too, didn't she? Did she know what it was? Did she understand what you had?
Well, she always called them visions, and it was, you know, she considered it a gift from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so it was a spiritual thing. We just, you know, so I just assumed that's what it was too. So.
Yeah, well,
and
I mean,
in our faith, that's, you know, that is one of the gifts that, you know, that we believe that God gives us.
Yeah. Do any of the other kids have that gift?
I'm sure that they do. I just, you know, it's just kind of a given. You know, you just take it for granted, I guess. And, you know, I feel like it's the Holy Spirit, or that it's your, you know, intelligence, your divine intelligence warning you of, you know, danger or warning you of things to come.
Well, we're just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. You're listening to Get Focused Radio with my special guest, Stella Parton. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the miracles that she talks about in Tell It, Sister, Tell It. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tell it, sister, tell it, everywhere you go. Let everybody know.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
Do you play enough in your life? What if play and the absolutely ridiculous were the place that creativity and your brilliance hide out? Did you know that laughter and play are the elements of change? Let's unleash the playful creative you. Join Brenda St. Louis on November 20th at 6 p.m. Pacific for a free telecall, a play date with the ridiculous. This is the beginning of a 6 play dates with the ridiculous series. Sign up now at knowthatyouknow.com/playdate. Get your silly on and register now.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Tell it, sister, tell it. Everywhere. Tell it, sister, tell it. Let everybody know.
We're back on Get Focused Radio with Stella Parton. Stella, that song is just beautiful. It gives me shivers. It's gorgeous. Tell us how you came up with that song.
Well, I was just driving down the highway one night after a concert and decided, I heard that in my head. And I thought, well, I'm going to write that. And, you know, Tell It, Sister, Tell It is kind of like a testimonial in the church that I grew up in. I grew up kind of in the Pentecostal faith, and that was like an amen. You know, tell it, brother, tell it. In other words, amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. So I thought, well, that's a good, you know, good title for a song. And the melody and the lyrics just came to me just, you know, quickly. And I felt that it was more of a divinely ordered gift that I was given than something that I did on my own.
Now, well, the song came before the book, and you decided to call the book Tell It, Sister, Tell It. I want to let people know, just before we discuss the book, where can they go and get this?
They can get the book at Amazon.com, or they can go to StellaParton.com and order the book that way. You can just check on my StellaParton.com homepage, and it'll send you to where to get it. Also, the audiobook has come out, and it is totally uncensored as well. And I have, of course, read the book myself. And in the book, the hard copy book, I have famous quotes from different women. In the audiobook, it's scriptures before each chapter that I read.
Okay, and why did you write the book?
Well, I felt like by the time I have gotten to this age and being, part of the Parton clan and being Dolly's little sister, having always had to carve out my career in and around hers, and her career being so phenomenal, you might imagine that people have judged me quite harshly and not knowing any better, and the struggles that have come with that. And often the judgments that people have, leveled against me that they, obviously did not know anything about me. So I thought, after over 40 years in the industry, I had a right to say what I wanted to say. And I also wanted to kind of excavate some of my life and my journey, because it has been a struggle at times, and it has been, very stressful at times. And the more I wrote the book, or the more I started to write and excavate a life of mine, I thought, well, maybe I have lived an incredible life, so maybe this can inspire somebody. And I wanted it to be an inspiration to other, especially other women and men as well. But if you're going through something, to say, so Parton can overcome kidnapping, domestic abuse, poverty, single parenthood, and all the things that have gone with making the life that I have carved out for myself, then maybe I can overcome some of the things I'm going through.
Well, we'll touch on one of those things, because you didn't even know what this was that you suffered from, but you actually had anorexia.
Yes, I came down with that when I was 15 years old, when I left home. But that same summer, I had lost a cousin to a violent, horrific murder. Mm-hmm. And I believe all of that kind of contributed to my developing anorexia nervosa, which I suffered with for almost, over 15 years.
Wow.
Then I saw on TV that it was a condition. And I thought, well, I do all that. I do that. I do that. I do that. And at the time, I had lost 30 pounds or something, and when I came down with it, and I remember thinking I looked good at that weight, and I looked back at pictures of myself, and I thought, oh my God, no one seemed to know what was going on, and no one seemed to bother to say, why have you lost so much weight, because no one knew that it was a condition back then.
Right, right. And that's all part of that condition, isn't it? That you think you look wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, can you tell us, you know, I know that you wrote in part this book because you are a real advocate for getting domestic abuse realized that it's out there, and you know, you some of the proceeds from this book is going to that charity, is it not?
Yes. Wherever I sign, I do book signings all over the country, and anywhere I'm doing book signings, I leave 10% of the sale of the books for the women and children's shelter in that community. And I think it's sad that we even have to have battered women and children's shelters, but we do. And having gone through that myself, that is one of the causes that I really try to support, because no child should have to be afraid in its own home. No mother, no woman should have to be afraid of the man she loves for her life. She should not have to be afraid for her life. No one should have to be punished just because they love someone who can't control their anger.
Absolutely. And that started for you. You had a wonderful friend, your cousin, who actually came out to look after your little boy, Tim, when you
yes.
were performing. And it was what happened to her really started this campaign for you, didn't it?
Well, it was the impetus for me getting involved, because I felt helpless. She had moved away by then and was living in Chicago, which was, you know, hundreds of miles away from me. And for me to get a call that she was in the hospital and that she would later stay in a women and children's shelter for 3 months just to try to recover, get back on her feet. And I was able to, on tour, to, you know, help her get home after that once I went through Chicago on my tour. But it was a, you know, that was when I promised myself that I would always make that one of my causes, that I would, you know,
yeah.
work to, you know, hopefully change the life of one woman or one child is better than not doing anything at all. Some
yeah.
people feel that if they can't do something on a national level or an international level or the world stage, then they don't want to get involved at all. But I think we each have an opportunity at any given moment to become an earth angel and make a difference in the life of someone. You don't have to get credit for it.
No, and that's exactly what you've done throughout your life, as you tell in the book here. I mean, you even you were hurt by a prominent politician, actually, who attacked you, broke your nose,
yes.
in fact, and yeah. Now there was no real comeuppance for him, because there weren't charges pressed at that time, were there?
No, because he was a well-known politician from my hometown, and I was just starting out as a singer. And at the time, had I, you know, made that, you know, brought that to light, I'm sure I would have been the one that looked bad. And so I never told it and carried that, you know, assault with me all those years.
Now, you've I'm just going to touch base on some other things. You're not a drinker. You've never done drugs. You never got into that with the whole entertainment industry. That just wasn't your thing.
Well, I was a single mother, and I had a child, and I was not going to jeopardize his well-being by being an irresponsible parent. I think when you have children, you don't have a right to be irresponsible anymore.
No, no. And you, well, you were young when you had him, too.
I'm still a teenager.
Well, you look like a teenager. You have a big strapping boy now, though, and he's actually an attorney.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of him. He's turned out well. And that's another thing. I feel like that a lot of times single parents are stigmatized, that you can't raise healthy, well-adjusted children, but that's not true. My son has turned out to be very successful, and, you know, he's well-adjusted, and we have a wonderful relationship. He's married and has a lovely wife and a good career as an attorney, and he's well-educated. And I want to break that stigma that single mothers or single fathers can't raise healthy, well-adjusted children. Yes, you can. What children need is to know they're valued above everything, because they're helpless without you.
Yeah, yeah. Were you a tough mother?
I could be.
Yeah. You had high expectations for him?
I sure did and still do.
Yes, yeah. Did he think that you were hard on him? Or because throughout the book he's you have such a loving relationship with him.
He sometimes thought I was hard on him, but he never minded. He always knew that I'm a soft, gentle person, but I'm determined. And I felt like that, it was for his own good when I had to, discipline him.
Yeah. Now, did you believe in spanking when he was young? I believe in spanking.
Not everyone
agrees.
Absolutely. Corporal punishment, as long as it's not, anything but a little red spot on their hind end or, a little switch, it's not going to hurt them. As he grew older, I just disciplined him with, restrictions and stuff. But, I was big on spanking, and I was big on using a small little belt that he laughs about even now and says, I always let Mom think this belt hurts so bad, which, it was probably the one that I used the most, but he thought it, it looked like it hurt, and so that's the one I used. And, of course, he said, why don't you use the belt? So that's a big joke with him now, is that he had me thinking that it was horrible.
Well, I'm gonna take a quick break, Stella, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the highlights of your career. There have been so many. You're listening to Get Focused Radio. We'll be back shortly with Stella Parton. Please stay tuned.
They say for every boy and girl there's just one love in this whole world, and I know that I...
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening, and keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
We are back on Get Focused Radio. I'm your host, Kate Hennessy, and I have the wonderful Stella Parton here talking about her book, Tell It, Sister, Tell It, which you can get at Amazon.com. So, Stella, tell us a little bit of, I know you've been acting also throughout most of your career, and you're producing too. Tell us a few of the plays that you've been in and what you're producing right now.
Well, actually, I'm going to be producing a film. Well, I'll be one of the three producers on a film that John Schneider is going to be in called Charlie's Dream that we're going to be start filming on in early 2013. And I personally have starred in five Broadway touring musicals. I did Gentlemen for Purple Arms, Ethel Whorehouse in Texas, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and Pump Boys and Dinettes. As a matter of fact, I did Pump Boys and Dinettes in Calgary one entire summer.
Oh, wow. And now, when is this movie coming out, Charlie's Dream?
We'll start filming early 2013.
Do you prefer producing or acting?
Well, I like it all. It's all the creative process. I just assume be behind the camera as on the camera. I just love being creative, whatever I'm doing.
Anyone that you've acted with that you could tell us a story about?
Well, you know, I was in a film, a TV movie called JC's Story, and it was with Lou Gossett Jr. and Jenna Rollins, and I just thought Lou Gossett Jr. was just the most incredible actor and fun person to be around. We had a little impish things going on off the set, or on the set, just to keep it fun and interesting.
Did you, you've got to tell the story in the book, because your moral character is very, very there. I mean, you just won't do anything that you feel is going to cause any kind of upset or embarrassment to your family, although, you know, you're very forthright. But you told the story about doing the shoot for the Wee magazine.
Well, that was when I was in my late 20s, and I was just stunned because, and I tell that story to show how if you don't have a good sense of your own identity and your own set of values and morals, how you can be dragged along and into things that you may regret later. Mm-hmm. And I'd like not to tell too much about it because I'd like people to maybe get the book and read it for themselves, but it was quite, I didn't understand that was a, you know, pornographic magazine at the time.
No.
Until I got
actually,
there.
Yeah. It's very funny, and you know, and you tell it in such a lighthearted way. But you were not going to take any crap from anybody with regard to having them talk you into doing anything.
Well, I think if we use as a moral compass our the morals that we have been taught, and would you want your children to look back on your career and be ashamed of something you might have done? Would you want your parents to be hurt by something that you might participate in? That was always what I used as my moral compass. It's like, I have a child. Would I want my son to grow up and say, Mom did that? Oh, my goodness. Or grandchildren? Because it's not just today that we have to think about. We have to think out in the future and how our actions and the choices we make might affect those that we love.
Now, do you play any instruments? I wanted to ask you that. I saw you with a guitar at one point.
Yes, I play guitar and dulcimer and auto harp, and mostly stringed instruments. I do play just enough piano to write songs, but I wouldn't call myself a musician at all.
Have you written most of your songs?
A majority of them, yes.
Yeah. How do you get your ideas? Where do they come from?
Oh, honey, I think that, life itself, all you have to do is look up at a blue sky and be inspired. You know, I just wake up inspired because I'm so happy to be alive.
Well, that comes across in your book. You tell that all the time. I know that the one thing that you do is you actually do missionary work, you call it, where you will do small things here and there.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this week I'll be driving to one of the most poverty-stricken counties in the U.S., in Pineville, Kentucky, where we'll be doing a food drop distribution to 3,500 children and their families for Christmas. And, you know, I just want to go and, you know, bless them, and then we'll go to Southeast Virginia and do another food distribution.
Right. Well, and because you did touch a few times in the book that you feel not enough is done where you grew up, that there is still a lot that needs to be done there, and we seem to help other countries, but, you know, not so much, you know, where you grew up. And there's quite a few things that still that they need out there, right?
Well, that's true, but I honestly think that the Appalachian people are such proud, stubborn people, and we're kind of isolationist by nature, and it could be the environment in which we grew up, but we're proud, stubborn, Scot-Irish, you know, people, and we don't ask for anything, and so we have been forgotten, and that's why I bring it up in the book. I feel like that more should be done, more job opportunities should be offered, and more I feel like the coal industry, I do a lot of work for the coal miners and their families, but I think the industry, as technology changes and everything, they should be retooling and retraining the miners and their families and educating them to do other work. Instead of saying, well, the government's taken our industry away from us. Well, if technology starts to change, then go with the flow.
Right. So now, growing up, let's go back on that a little bit. You say, I love the fact that you said, we don't take a hand out, we would accept a hand up. So that was all part of their, like, very, very proud people.
Yes, it's the Appalachian way. You know, we will, if we have to feel like we're earning our keep, we don't have a sense of entitlement like some cultures do. And I'm not picking on any one culture or anything or one group of people, but Appalachian people are very shy people, very isolationist by nature, and very proud and stubborn. And I think that's one of the things that has held us back.
Yeah.
And kept our government from helping us.
Yeah. And you're a big part of pushing that changes.
I sure am, and I'm going to be more vocal about it as time goes along, because I have been working with the coal industry for the last 3 or 4 years. You know, I did an album, produced an album as a tribute to the coal miners and their families, and I've worked with the coal industry people, and I've brought this to them, and they look at me like I've got two heads, and I'm disappointed by that, so I'm going to get a little more vocal about it.
And do you have other entertainers that are on board with you and helping you push this too?
I think I will have shortly.
Yeah.
It's not an environmental political thing that I'm going to be pursuing. It's retooling and re-educating the people in Appalachia that have been generational coal mining people, bring in more education, bring in more training, so that these people can, you know, provide for their families.
Now, we talked a little bit about, you know, I mean, I've known who you are for many, many years, and but you actually, although Dolly is out there and she was doing a great career, and she's a little bit more at it than you had started, because you had a child, you know, and she did not. But did you ever feel, have you always felt that it's been a little bit of a harder for you to get your foot in the door, more so than, or has it been easier because of having an older sister named Dolly Parton?
I think it's been a lot harder, and I think people have judged my creative output a lot more, you know, they've been more judgmental against my artistic output, my creative output, because of her tremendous success. That's no one's fault. That's just the way it is. But it's been more of a burden than a blessing. But at the same time, that doesn't mean I'm not proud and happy for her and her career. And that's hurt me at times, for people to think that I wouldn't be, because I am. I'm not a jealous type person.
So, and I think people would find that a bit of a surprise, that it's actually been more of a hindrance to your career than a help. I'm going to touch base on that a little bit more when we come back. We've got to take another break. I just want everyone to know that you can go to stellaparton.com and to find out far more information all about this wonderful lady. When we come back, we will share some more inspiring words with Stella Parton. Tell it, sister, tell it. Stay tuned.
Kate?
Oh, sorry, Stella.
I'm losing some battery, so if I should lose you, you know.
Okay.
I'll be sorry about it.
Okay. We'll just hold. We're just going to go on a quick break, and then hopefully you'll still be there when we come back.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
T
Tune in each Tuesday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Quantum Techniques Talk Radio. Bring healing to chaos. This hit show will empower you to take charge of your own healing and take back your life. You'll be reminded of your innate connection to the divine through the teachings of world-renowned healing practitioners who'll provide the tools necessary to discover how to heal yourself and others. Did you know you can even prevent disease? Absolutely. Get ready to invoke the miracle of self-healing physical or non-physical causes of stress, pain, and illness. Discover toxins, pathogens, structural issues, trauma, emotions, relationships, generational issues, spiritual problems, and wrong beliefs blocking you from living a phenomenal life. Break free from the chaos and take charge of your own healing. Visit quantumtechniques.com for more information.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at aliveandshineshow.com.
We are back with the beautiful Stella Parton. And not only is Miss Parton a singer, songwriter, and now author of Tell It, Sister, Tell It, but she's written several other books. And you're a great cook, I hear.
Well, I love to cook. I think in order to be good at something, you have to love it.
Yeah.
And so I think, and having cooked all my life since I was just a girl, growing up with such a big family, we had to cook. And we had to help out because, as I said in the book, you know, my mother was ill a lot. And so if we were going to eat, we better know how to cook.
Well, you must have learned how to really stretch a meal because there wasn't a lot of money. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of groceries. You would have to, you know, I mean, what did you do? What would you make that would feed that amount of people?
Well, you don't have to be much of a gourmet to do beans and potatoes and cornbread and country ham and potato salad and chicken and dumplings and all the things that go with that.
Right. Now, and I told you this story when I was traveling through the South, and I had gone into a restaurant, and the lady wanted to fatten me up a bit. So when I ordered my omelet, she told me I was going to have it covered and smothered, and that was with cheese and lots of gravy. And I probably gained about 30 pounds in that 1 week I was there, because everywhere I went, I would have my omelets covered and smothered. That was just the best thing ever.
Well, so, it's kind of like... you need something to stick to your ribs. I think that goes back to our Scott-Irish culture, and that is those cold winters in the Appalachian Mountains, there's nothing better than gravy and biscuits.
No. Now, what's the new book? You've got a cookbook coming out in the spring. What's that going to be about?
It's a cookbook, and it's called Church Bazaars and St. Fairs, and it's the Blue Ribbon recipes that we're the winners of the state fairs in America, and the favorite recipes from church bazaars that we have, collected.
That sounds wonderful. Now, is this your fourth or fifth cookbook?
This will be my fourth cookbook, and I'm excited about it. I love to cook. I love to talk about food, and I love to share recipes, and hopefully it'll just lead to another book down the road.
Well, you know, a great book, a cookbook for you would be, I know all of you you gals in the family cook, you should have recipes from all of them.
I know, that's a good idea. I might have to do that next.
Yeah, the Parton cookbook, I can see it now. That would be great. Now, you're traveling through right now. Are you going to be spending the holidays with your family?
Some of them, yes.
Yeah? Do some of them still live in the mountains?
Oh, yes, most of them. So I will go visit my nieces and my oldest sister and my three older brothers and my youngest brother, who I usually stay with because he's like a son to me. Yeah. And he's a wonderful cook himself, and he's creative, and he and I share songwriting ideas, and sometimes we write together.
Can you go through the whole family and tell us the first name of all the siblings?
Should I do this fast and in order? Dean, David, Dean, David, Denver, Dolly, Bobby, Stella, Cassie, Randy, Floyd, Frieda, Rachel, Larry. I think that'll do it.
That's great. Now, how many nieces and nephews in the family now?
I have 14 now, so
yeah,
we're very excited.
Yeah. Now, tell me something. You when you produce these new books, like this one here, this is certainly different than a cookbook. This is your life story, really. But you're still on a journey. So there's still more to tell.
Oh yeah, there'll be more books to come. And as time goes along, I'm sure I will be more reflective and want to tell more stories. And being from the Appalachian Mountains, we're great storytellers, and we like to share that.
Yeah. Have you ever written a children's book?
No, but that might be something in the works later down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, and what about, are you doing any more TV shows or anything like that coming up?
Well, all the time. There's different plans in the works, but right now it's mostly just the acting and the book signings. I've not been doing a lot of concerts this past year.
No. Okay. So, well, I want to thank you so much, Stella. I know you're on your way and you're going to be meeting your family, and you've taken time to speak with us. We've learned so much about you. You are a beautiful and inspiring woman. And I want to have everyone go out and pick up Tell It, Sister, Tell It, because it is just a fascinating book. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. But mostly it just makes you think. So thank you so much for sharing this time with us, and I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
And you do the same. Thank you so much, Kate, for taking the time, and God bless you, and God bless all you who are listening.
God bless
you. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I want to thank my guest today, Stella Parton. What an inspiring woman. Thank you, everyone. What a great show we've had once again. You really should go out and get Tell It, Sister, Tell It. She tells everything, and she keeps nothing. She really bears it all. And there's some really funny and great inspiring things there. So thanks, everyone, for joining us once again. This is going to be a great Christmas gift. So go to Amazon.com and get Tell It, Sister, Tell It. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Get Focus Radio. As always, we've had a great time. Please join me next week. I will have actor Paul M. Glaser with us, and you probably remember him best from Starsky and Hutch, and now he's written a wonderful book called Crystallia and the Source of Light. So we're going to be able to talk to Paul about his career, his life, and his great new book. Check out all of our upcoming and awesome guests at getfocusedradio.com or transformationtalkradio.com. And have a great week. I'll see you back here, same time, same place, with great people and amazing stories. Make sure to have a great day and try to make a difference. And we will listen to a few more tunes from Miss Stella Parton. See you next week.
She did not Listening to Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power, filled with humor and insight, will have you screaming yes to your life. Tune in next week as Kate and her guests share their secrets, talk about what almost brought them down, and offer inspiring techniques we all need in order to make our lives epic. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com and spread the juiciness of hope.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. We'll see you there.